All right, you are live. We're live.
He's live. That's great. You are live.
Maybe good morning, don't read it.
Just read the prompters.
Yes, I'm read the teleprompter, man. I'm not. I wasn't supposed to read that part of the teleprompter.
You think Coach would be in Super Bowl mode, but not Coach. He's still in week one mode, basically.
Listen. All right, I just want to say, you know the rule, man. Dewey always wins, and I'm a little partly cloudy this morning, so. It's a little rough this morning, even though it is, we're pre-gaming the day before. What can I tell you? It happens. So welcome. Super Bowl Sunday is here. I can't believe that we are here already to Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, the season has flown by. I just can't believe that here we are,
Yeah, every year feels like that, Coach. That the season just
it's
flies
interesting.
By.
It does, and but I before we get into the football stuff, because obviously we got a ton of stuff. Nevada Knicks has got all kinds of, they're betting on if the grass is bent to the left or not. I mean, they got it all covered today. But before we get into because it's actually a grass turf. Mixture. It's not 100% turf. There's grass with turf, like to keep the grass. Something weird. Right. But anyway. So I want to get into. There was a little NBA trade that involved the Sixers that I think we should touch on a little. Just real quick with that, since that's your guys's neck of the woods.
Right.
With that.
Yeah. No. I mean, I know me personally. I like the move. I mean, everybody was telling Morey basically to get, because we all knew Ben Simmons wasn't going to play again for the Sixers. And everybody told him that, trade him, just get rid of him, get what you can get. And look, now he's getting a top 15, 20 player. I think you're going to get a motivated James Harden too. And you had to make the trade. Did I love giving up Curry and Drummond with it? No. The first round picks, I really think are irrelevant. I'm not worried about them. One's not for another 4 years, and it's going to be the pick this year or next year, you would assume is going to be a later round pick. So that doesn't really concern me. But I think it's a move you got to make. They want to win a championship. You got a guy who's on the bench, and now you got James Harden. And I like Seth Curry. Don't get me wrong. And Stizno, you always love a shooter, but he's also 5'10". In the last 3-4 minutes of the game, do you really want a guy who's 5'10 out there playing defense? Now you're going to go to the young guys. And I like it too, because as James Harden ages and, probably isn't as good, we expect Maxey to get better and improve. So, Joel Embiid's not going to be LeBron James. When you're 7 foot, you don't play to 37.
No.
So he has a window here, and he's right now the MVP of the league. They had to make this move. I like it. I know some people think we might have given up too much, and they might have. But you know what? They want to go for a championship this year too. So I like the move. Stiz, what's up,
Angela?
Stiz, what do you think?
What's up, Angela? Yeah, I mean, I love it. I'm on your boat. When they got rid of Seth Curry, listen, they had to. It was either Seth Curry or a Tyrese Maxey package.
Right.
So they did the latter. I hate giving up 3-point shooters too. I hate it when they gave up JJ Redick, when they let him go. I mean, that broke my heart. The dude was solid, but he didn't play defense.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you gotta do what's going to make your team better. The window is perfectly stated. I mean, Joel Embiid is just playing MVP level for the last 2 years. And you better get him while he's good. And you bring in a guy in James Harden that can score you 28 points blindfolded night after night after night. So you got a 1-2 punch there. Now, he showed up a little bit out of shape, last year. So I think he will have motivation. I think he will have motivation with his team and to get things done. And listen, man, you're playing for a championship within the next couple of years. That's what they did. They sold out to play for a championship.
And who knows, Smith, maybe you play for it this year.
I hope so. I hope so. You still have time, right? So, I like the move. I know you gave up a lot. I know Coach doesn't seem like he likes it.
I'm not a fan, but I do have a question. How far is the closest strip club from the facility? That's my question, because we know James Harden loves to go and hang out there. Because, and by the way, you know, the Nets built their facility right across the street from a strip club specifically for James Harden. You know, and
I'm not trying to stick up for James Harden, but The Rock, he wants to win. You know, and the Rockets were competing for a championship every year. They didn't win it, but you know what, too? Let's give it some credit. They were going against a Warriors dynasty, a very good Cavs team with LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie. There was teams out there, you know, and they were right there. They just didn't get over the step. You can question, you know, about James Harden and Chris Paul and Daryl Morey about that. But
Think he fell out. He ran out of gas at the end of the year,
but still, James Harden this year is averaging 23-10-8 and what they're calling a bad year. Okay, the guy can still ball. I mean, he averaged 36.
He can, but I think this helps, though, because Philadelphia can win. Go ahead, finish your point. Go ahead, finish your point.
The Houston situation, and look, how he handled it was wrong. It was. He shouldn't have thrown his hissy fit and all. He should have just said, look, I don't want to be part of a rebuild. I'm 33 years old, 32 years old. I want to win. I want to move on and get out of it. So I disagree, because he did do a Simmons thing. But here, Coach, there he goes, looking to tell you, Billy, that was for you, brother. But you know, with the Nets, how would you feel with Kyrie playing half the games? And
oh, absolutely. I agree with that, man.
I think he wanted out of it. So that's why I'm going to defend Harden in regards to this year. And he even said he didn't want to do a trade demand because of the media was going to bring. But I just think he was over the whole Kyrie situation, over the Nets, and he wanted to move on and go play with Joel and Maury, and they just need to get a bench together. All right, Jason Dean, I'm trying to win a title in Philly, so just like you're trying to get a Super Bowl in Oakland for your Raiders, and I'll say Oakland because I know how you are, but I'm trying to get a championship in Philly.
We'll take what we can get.
No, it's not. Yeah. That's old school Chad Ochocinco jersey.
Dave, what's up, my brother? Yeah, little Ochocinco rocking from the old school here. And you know what? To answer Coach's question real quick about the strip clubs, there are a lot of them. Right within walking distance.
Who knows this personally? Jay, he'll take them through.
That I may or may have not frequented in my younger years.
Hey, you might have DJed that a couple of times too. Tell him.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. No, but I think it actually, you know, when I talk about him running out of gas in Houston because there was nobody there, but we've seen Philadelphia has been winning without this piece. So I think it helps that, you know, he will be able to get that rest when it comes to get that playoff push and make that run. I think it helps Philadelphia, but I mean, I'm not a fan of how, what was, you know, what was given up. And I think they way overpaid for a guy that age.
I can agree with that. Yeah. I can agree with that for sure. But you know what? You're getting a superstar. So you know what? Let's make it happen.
Jason Dean, curious to see what you think about McDaniel. I actually like it. I think it's, you know, look, he's been waiting now for years. I think he's going to, the second time around, I think he's going to be successful. I actually like the hire for the Raiders.
Hell yeah.
There's the Sam now on stage.
Yep.
Cinnamon, there you go. Huh. That's right up my alley, man.
Yeah, many paychecks.
Maybe a Cinnabon, we'll call her. I'll get a little Cinnabon in the lap dance.
Many cell phone bills paid to Cinnamon over the career.
All right, guys. Yeah. You know, obviously, today the big game with the Super Bowl. You know, I wanted to ask you guys first because to me, I really don't think there's an edge either way. But like, who do you think it's bigger for, quarterback wise, winning this Super Bowl? I'll start with you, Coach.
Who is it bigger for? I think it's bigger for Stafford because of the age, because he might not get back. He's at the back end where, you know, and, you know, I know I hear all these Dan Marino. You know.
Good point.
I think they'll be back.
Coach.
Oh, look at that. Look at that face.
He's ready for something. Some
mother can love.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Well, no, I mean, Coach.
Hey, I got face for radio. What can I tell you?
Yeah, I get your point, Coach, but mine, you know, well, part of it, actually. But, no, mine is, look, you know, I don't think it's fair with Stafford because of the situation. If you put Joe Burrow in Detroit in the same situation, he might have had more success than Stafford. I don't think he won a Super Bowl. So, you know, to me, I think it's almost the same. I mean, Burrow's younger. Yes, I agree. But Stafford, you put him in a good situation in the first year he's in the Super Bowl. So I really think, you know, they're kind of even. To me, the difference is coach-wise. I think it's more important for McVay because this is his second trip, you know, yeah. And he really got out coached last time against Belichick. Stiz, who do you think it's more important? Does it matter quarterback-wise? Do you think it's more important to one than the other?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on coach's train. I think Stafford is more important for. I mean, you know, 10 years with that misery in Detroit,
right?
And he's getting older. You know, the way I see it is, listen, they both have a shot today, of course, because they're in the Super Bowl. Yep. They're both great quarterbacks. They both have great surrounding pieces. But listen, Burrow's young, man. Burrow, we hope, and we can foresee the future, should be back in this spot again.
Right.
Sooner than later, right?
I would think.
You know, this team should be in the playoffs, hopefully moving forward, and should get another shot at the Super Bowl soon. Right. You know, as for Stafford, who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They pay for this team. They built it to make the Super Bowl. So let's, you know, I think it's more important for him.
Well, the one crazy thing I will say, Stiz, I actually think I think the Rams have a better chance of coming back in the next few years than the Bengals just because the NFC is more wide open and less QBs. Stafford's going to be the best QB in the NFC if Rodgers leaves.
Yeah.
If Rodgers leaves.
Yeah.
You know, so he kind of has the easier road to where Burrow has to go through some teams. But what does favor Cincinnati? They're going to get some draft picks to get in and probably get on that line. And they got $40 million in cap space. So, and you got Burrow – who's on year two of his contract, and Chase is on year one.
Right.
So those guys don't have to get paid for another couple of years still, which is huge. So that's what's big for Cincy. But, you know, sometimes things just don't roll your way. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. I'm curious to how that all plays out. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, Cincinnati does have a lot to be excited for. But you know how it gets, though, too. Guys get in the Super Bowl, and then you got a lot of guys, too, that want to renegotiate their contract and want to – so, you know, you got to see what happens with the team. But Cincinnati definitely is in a good position. But that AFC stuff, man, the Bills are going to come roaring back next year. And I can tell you now, that's going to be my pick next year. I can feel it already.
The Buffalo Bills, huh?
Yeah. Well, I understand that you know, the Rams are the – but they're in cap hell, man. A lot of those guys aren't going to be there next year. You know, I mean, yeah, Odell, Floyd, I mean, yeah, you know, so this is kind of win today or, you know, we don't know about the window. So, you know.
Better get it while you can.
Yep. Yeah. Laces out.
Out.
Well, you know what, too? When you're here now, when you get this opportunity, you just never know you're going to get back again. I mean, like the Eagles a couple years ago, people thought, oh, you got Carson Wentz. He's so young. The young team, it's going to – I mean, 3 years later, Carson's traded. Doug's gone. I mean, football's football. And this is why football's great, because Cincinnati was 125-1 going into this year to win the Super Bowl, and here they are in the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, they had the number one pick, and it was Joe Burrow. So that's why NFL is great, because you never know going in. Look at two of coaches' teams, you know, that went in the playoffs 9-7 and ended up winning the Super Bowl, going on runs. You know, Eagles team to beat the Patriots, too. Coach obviously took down the 16-0 Patriots. You just never know in the NFL. And the one trend that concerns me, if you're betting the Rams today. So 3.5-point dogs in the Super Bowl. The 3.5-point dogs are 7-2 straight up. Forget about the point spread. Straight up, 8-1 against the spread. So being an underdog in the Super Bowl has been a good thing when we're talking about you're getting points over a field goal. Wow. So, you know, that's been the trend. But, trends do change. But right now, dogs have been barking in the Super Bowl. So that, you know, could be something that favors Cincinnati in regards to trends and tonight's game.
I like it.
Yeah, good stuff, man.
So now, Coach, I think obviously, to me, when you look at the game and the biggest matchup, I really feel it's going to be Joe Burrow and Joe Burrow getting the ball out quickly. Because I think the biggest mismatch in the game, I think it's what everybody's going to talk about, but it's that St. Louis defensive line, the Rams defensive line, LA Rams defensive line, against that Cincinnati offensive line.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And I think we will probably see a lot more of what we saw in the AFC Championship. And we're going to see Lamar Chase more as a decoy at the beginning of the game. But I think they're going to get him going a little bit quicker than they did in the AFC Championship. So we'll see. Watch the draw. Watch for the draw and those quick screens just to slow up that rush.
Yeah. Samaje P. Ryan, look out for him today.
Yeah. I mean,
he had a 75-yard touchdown, last week?
Yeah.
Off a screen. So, yeah,
look out for him. Some big plays. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to need – I mean, you know, that's been the problem – the kryptonite of Cincinnati all year is that offensive line. So, listen, man, Joe Burrow has got to limit his mistakes. You know, if you got to take a sack, you got to take a sack, you know, and get up for the next play. You know, don't throw the ball away. Don't close your eyes and try to make a play with nothing. Take the sack, go down, live for another play.
And we've seen him do that. 9 sacks in the second round, you know.
And stood right up and came right back. The only problem is, Coach, with that, 9 sacks against this Rams defense – I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
I'm a little scared of that.
Yeah.
I'm a Cincinnati fan.
One big thing for Cincinnati defensively since week 15, +9 in the turnover differential. So when you're getting that, you know, that many turnovers in that shorter time, you're going to win games. And I think that's going to be big. You know, Stiz mentioned it with Burrow, but that has been Stafford's Achilles heel. Is the bad turnovers in big spots. And you almost saw him do it. And honestly, if the guy for the Niners makes that play, we might have a different Super Bowl tonight.
Absolutely.
It might be a rematch of the last time the Bengals were in a Super Bowl when we're talking Niners-Bengals. Yeah. So Stafford put it up. The play just wasn't made. So that's the
right
question, too.
Basket. My God, I've never seen a misstep like that. Jesus.
I know. And Stiz and Coach, credit to him. He went out and said, "This one's on me. I take it." Like you know, not many guys do that. You know, he went right out and said it. He goes, "This one's on me."
Unlike my teammates, unlike a certain Philly basketball star we used to know.
Yeah. You know, and that's the one thing. Just not to get sidetracked from that, though. I love how now all of a sudden his mental health's going to be better just because he's in Brooklyn instead of Philadelphia.
You kidding me?
Yeah. So it's just weird how. The zip code makes your mental health better.
It's like, you know, if you guys ever watch the infomercials with them evangelists that, you know, the guy's blind, he hasn't seen all his life, and, the minister touches his head, you can see. All of a sudden, he's cured. There's Ben Simmons right there. No more mental health issues. You're cured. Get on the court, start playing some defense.
That's the truth. I'll take that bet, Sam.
Oh, shit. That's a chicken on this game. I like it.
All right.
Coach is in.
I'm in, man.
Michael, I agree. He should be suspended. And there was actually a good point I liked, too, that Dave said. It does about trading draft picks for proven veterans. And I've always been about that.
Yeah.
If you're getting the right guy.
Right. Like
when you look at the Eagles pick, when they traded a first-round pick, that's it, for Jason Peters with the Bills, you got a Hall of Fame left tackle for an unknown. Now look at the guy we drafted, Andre Dillard, who can't get on the field. That's my point. That you're taking a shot, or a guy like Jason Peters, who you know was a Pro Bowl left tackle. Now, you don't know what the career was going to be, but still, you know, I'll take the proven guy and trade the pick. They value those picks so much, but I'll take the proven guy than that unknown commodity any day of the week in regards to, you know, when I'm trading draft picks. I think it's worth it if you find the right player.
But the only problem that you run into is you're seeing the Rams. They're in cap hell because all these guys are veterans and they all need to get paid and you can't pay them all. So it doesn't necessarily isn't sustainable like it is if you drafted that guy, because you have that 5 years of the rookie deal that you could kind of put pieces around and go. So,
like Cincinnati has.
No, and you know, I thought it was kind of interesting. McVay kind of alluded to on Friday, and I'm just surprised he did it. Now, he said, like, but he alluded that, like, you know, he wants to be around for his family, you know, and that, you know, he wasn't sure if he would make it to 60 or something, like, you know, but, like, you know, and some people are saying he might go that John Gruden route and try, you know, kind of win the Super Bowl and retire at a younger age. You know, maybe, I'm not saying it's going to be this year, but that McVay kind of, you know, was one of those guys that knows only once, you know, one way, and it's all in, and, you know, kind of, you know, going in at 4 a.m. and, you know, working those long hours. I think it's why he's getting married or something in the summer. So I thought that was kind of interesting before the game to talk about, you know, that you don't, you know, you might not be coaching as long as people may think. I thought that was interesting from him on Friday.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. And, you know, it might work out for him.
Yeah. I'm just surprised. You know how it is. You don't like to bring up distractions. You know what I mean? And not that, but still, I mean, obviously now they're, you know, it's game time. They got the meeting last night, and you kind of wonder what that's got to feel like waking up on this, you know, this morning, if you're one of those players and you got a game like it is today. I mean,
your heart's pounding. Yeah. Your nerves are just all over the place. Sure.
And think about it right now. You're at 10:22. You got 8 hours to the game. You're ready, man. You know what I mean? You're ready right now.
Yeah.
And you just, I guess you got your routine you go through, but, you know, and everything's longer too. You know, halftime, it's an adjustment.
Right. That's right.
That halftime's much longer.
Sure.
And that is one thing I'm actually looking forward to tonight.
And so is the pregame too. Like, you know, the because they announce everybody coming out, they do all that. You know, it is. Everything's longer tonight.
Yeah. You know, like you see, you got do you guys know who's singing the national anthem?
I do not.
I didn't
pay attention to really who it was.
I'm not sure. Because they do the anthem and God Bless America. They do both.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, and like I said, you know, then they'll have the flyover too.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Slayer.
Yeah, you never see Slayer there.
Yes.
Honestly, I'm surprised that, but I do like it tonight. Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. Yeah. I think it's something different, Mary J. Blige. I'm kind of excited for the halftime show tonight. It's something a little different, you know, they're bringing a little hip hop in. Yeah. And I like that too. I just think that's a lot of juice. I think it's, you would think it's a winner, you know what I mean? It should be. That's why it's paying so much. But that's a lot of juice. Now, guys, let me ask you tonight, who has the bigger game? Stafford or Burrow? I'll go with you, Coach. Start.
I think it's Burrow because I think Cincinnati's winning the football game.
Okay.
So he has to have that the big game. I mean,
could have held the pick to the end, Coach. But go ahead. Stiz, who's having the bigger game in your opinion?
You talking stat wise? I guess just legit stats. I'd have to go Burrow because I think they're going to be playing from behind.
Okay.
I think he's going to have to throw the ball. So yeah, I think Burrow will.
Yeah, I think Stafford's gonna have a big game tonight. I really do. I could be wrong. I'm worried. I'd be lying. If I didn't say I'm not worried. And some of his previous stuff, I'm definitely, because he puts the ball up there. I am worried, but I just think the Rams defense is gonna be the difference in the game. The Bengals defense is opportunistic, and it's good. But I think the Rams are gonna run the football. And look, I mean, I think you guys would agree. I think the Rams have the better offensive line. I think we both agree with that.
Yes.
I think the Rams have the better defensive line.
Absolutely.
They're better up front. Now, I would take Joe Burrow over Matt Stafford. But I don't think right now it's a huge gap. So, and I think obviously the Rams have the better defense. And I would say overall, I think the Rams have the better offense. So, I mean, you know, let's see now they can go execute and win. I mean, it is true. The Bengals are on a ride here. I do think, just being honest, some things have fallen their way. But look, that's part of it. You need to get lucky. I think if they would have played the Bills in the AFC Championship, they would have lost. I think they should have lost to the Titans. The Titans kind of gave the game away. But hey, sometimes getting to the Super Bowl, that's part of it, is you get
lucky. Luck, yeah.
You know how it is, coach. You know, you need some things to fall your way. And it happened with your Giants in 86, where the Niners miss a field goal. And then, you know, or no.
That was 91.
No. 86. Oh, yeah, 90. Right. The Giants made a field goal, and then the Bills missed the field goal in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know how it goes. But that's one area the Bengals I don't think need to worry about, because I think that kid's the MVP of the playoffs for them. It's Stiz's boy, McPherson.
Yes, sir.
And I don't even know who that is. My mom.
Yeah, I've never heard of Mickey.
You ever heard of that, Stiz?
I don't know.
Never heard of him. He's not an old school hip hop artist, I can tell you that much. That I could say.
Now we got a ton of prop bets. But Stiz is going to talk a little bit of fantasy football for us, kind of recap the year, maybe, you know, talk a little bit about next year. Stiz, go into your fantasy for us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what a year, what a crazy year. I mean, you know, we look at, you know, the top prospects, the top draft results every year, and man, they get convoluted real quick, man. You know, it seems like running backs are not as safe. Well, really, they were never that safe. I mean, running backs is a position that always gets hurt. You know, it's always wide receivers that are, you know, your go-to. And you can find wide receivers all over the map. There's always a second or third wide receiver that comes out of nowhere. But with that being said, you know, I'm run down my draft results from last year from the first round. And, you know, we'll kind of, I guess, get into, you know, what's the best optimal position to draft at next year. You know, I mean, everybody has their different phases or different way to game plan for a draft. Some people like drafting quarterbacks early, running backs early, you know, back-to-back star receivers. I mean, it's really on preference, but this is the way it shaked out this year. So the number one pick this year was CMC, okay? And we saw what happened with him. Running back one, he finished as a running back 37. He missed 10 games this year. Best ability, availability, like Coach says all the time.
Yep.
And he wasn't available. He wasn't available the previous year either. You know, so you kind of got to worry about him next year with these nagging injuries. And it's a hamstring injury, which was the big culprit this year, which you wouldn't think was a big deal. But guess what? It ended up keeping him out two separate times, put him on IR two separate times. So there's your number one, CMC. Ugh, bad pick. Number two, Dalvin Cook. He was the 1-2 punch. A PPR machine, catches the ball out of the backfield. He finishes a running back 14. He missed 5 games this year. Only had 6 touchdowns on the year. Not something you want out of your number two. Number three, Alvin Kamara. He finishes a running back 10. Now, running back 10, you know, may be an overall pick of 17, 18. You see what I'm saying? Because you have your tight ends, your quarterbacks, your wide receivers in there. So he's not a 10th pick overall.
Right.
He's the 10th best running back he finished this year.
Right.
He missed 5 games as well. You know, more injuries for the running backs. We'll go to the next guy, number four, Derrick Henry, the monster of all monsters. Okay. Yeah. He finishes a running back 17. Damn. He missed 9 games this year, over half the season. And, man, when this kid was on pace, he missed 9 games, still had 10 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards.
Wow.
So imagine if he played the whole season. He was definitely a 2,000-yard runner again, for sure, 100%.
Well, I remember he was out for like 3 weeks and still led the league in rushing.
Still led the league. It was unbelievable. I'm saying to myself, you got to be kidding me. This kid is just a monster. The problem with him is we didn't get to see too much in that one playoff game that Tennessee had. Right. You know, I was looking, you know, for them, even though I picked Cincinnati, obviously, my blockbuster bold prediction.
Yeah.
But I was looking to see more from Derrick Henry just to see how his rehab went and how he's going to look for next year. Unfortunately, you know, we weren't able to see that, you know. Henry was catching passes. That's a good point, Dave. You know, he previous years, I mean, they didn't throw him the ball at all. This year, I don't know. I'd have to look at his reception count. He definitely was more involved in the passing game, which was good, which is what you want to see.
Right.
You know, out of your running backs. Number five on the list this year in the first round was Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you might say he didn't have a great year, but he finished as running back 6. He played all 17 games this year.
Wow.
you know, he didn't want to. He didn't want to give up to who was it? Tony Pollard. He didn't want to give up the reins to Tony Pollard. And I think that's why he played a little hobbled up. And he ended up with 12 touchdowns this year, 1,200 yards. You know, he ended up finishing solid for midway through that draft.
What's up, Uncle Bill?
Number six, wide receiver went. You know, top five running backs went. Here goes the wide receivers off the clock. Davante Adams, he finishes a wide receiver 5. He only missed one game this year. He's solid. He's been solid since he came in the league.
Right.
He's a solid pick at that position. You know, he's probably going to go around that area again next year.
Depending on what happens with Rodgers, obviously.
Depending on what happens with Rodgers, right. But, you know, the more and more I read, the more things are looking good between Rodgers and management. So,
right.
We may see Rodgers back in a Green Bay outfit next year.
Yeah.
Number 7, Austin Eckler for the Chargers. Okay. Guess what, fellas? He finishes a running back 2.
That's what I thought.
Running back 2 this year. He only missed one game. Listen to these stats, okay? And he's a pass catcher, okay? He's a PPR machine. 20 total touchdowns, 1,558 total yards.
Wow.
I mean, that's going to boost you up real quick.
That's what coach is looking for from Saquon. That's what they thought Saquon was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Saquon's new home is going to be in Buffalo, okay? Buffalo, I'm telling you, he's going to Buffalo because they need a running. They need a running because Singletary is not the bell cow. He's a great change of pace. And I think because of the obviously Buffalo connections.
And Stiz is kind of talking about that now. And I think that's why running backs go early. I mean, first of all, obviously points, but I think it's because there's only so few that people think you can count on and they're bell cow running backs.
Correct. You know,
they're not a tandem that have a Tony Pollard breathing behind them.
Correct.
You know, because you look at a lot of, around the league, a lot of them are like the Browns. And that's tough, too, because you like both of them, but then you worry because, you know, one game could be Hunt, one game could be Chubb. So, right.
And that was a point I made, you know, all year, that bell cow running back, that three down running back, that there's few and far between, you know, in this league, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Mike, you got to get a better pen and take better notes from Stiz, man.
So we get to number 8. A second receiver goes off the board in Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
He finishes a wide receiver 7. He ended up playing all 17 games, even though he was a little hobbled up too.
Yeah.
They play 18 now, Stiz.
What's that?
They play 17.
17 games, 18 weeks because of the bye week.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, 17. Played all 17 games. Finishes a wide receiver 7. I mean, it was good for where you're going to see them at. You're going to see them 2 receivers go, you know, late in the first round for the most part.
Right.
Number 9, another running back, Aaron Jones. Finishes a running back 13. Mm-hmm. He only missed 2 games this season, but he was along the tandem in that running back somewhat committee, right? They had a nice 1-2 punch in Green Bay. But, he still finished off well. Yeah. And to round out the last of the first round was Coach's boy, the new Buffalo Bills, Saquon Barkley. he missed only 3 games this year. Finished off as a running back 34.
Wow.
End of your
I felt like he missed a lot more than 3 games. It really felt that way, right?
It really did. I mean, he just didn't produce. That's why you thought he wasn't playing. And
think about a coach, there's only 32 teams.
I know.
He was in the game. His stats for this year, 3 touchdowns to match his 3 games he missed. 3 touchdowns, 856 total yards. I mean, what a disgrace for your last pick in your first round, your back-to-back pick. You're looking juiced up.
That's the one thing, guys, I can't get over in regards to Miles Sanders. I think we'd all agree, a very talented running back. He's on the team with the most rushing yards in the league. And he doesn't have 1 rushing touchdown.
How's that possible?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And listen, you know, Miles Sanders went
early
3rd round last year.
Yeah,
early 3rd round.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if he gets put in the right situation, he might be able to flourish. But, I mean, his first season, he was unbelievable.
Yep.
But he's had Zeke. He hasn't a career like Zeke, but he's like Zeke where every year he's gotten worse. And Zeke's been the same way. Excuse me, his stats have gone down. Now, Stiz, you've had both worlds kind of the last 2 years. So you won your fantasy football league last year. You chose to get that number one pick. Right. Now, the year you won it all, you chose eight. Your strategy going into this draft, what would it be? Would you take, say again, all right, you know what, if I can, I'll take that number one pick? Or do you now think with what's going on with the top of these drafts the last few years, would you rather maybe go towards the middle or, you know, go at the end? What would you prefer in your sense to draft strategy?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, a couple of years ago, I finished, I think, ninth or 10th in the league, and I end up getting stuck with the number eight position, which was fine with me because that's kind of where I like going anyway later in the draft.
Right.
Not this past year, but 2 years ago, I ended up winning the league.
Yeah.
And you know what? I always like going middle to late, more late than middle. Okay. I like kind of getting them back-to-back picks. But last year, I said, you know what? I seen CMC. I seen he's working out. He's bulking up. I'm going to take a shot. I know he was, you know, banged up last year. He missed a bunch of games. I took a shot, and I took CMC. And because I did my research, I did mock drafts, and I liked who was coming back to me 20 picks later in them back-to-back rounds of two and three. Didn't pan out for me this year. Obviously, okay. I had CMC number one overall. When it came back to the second round, I took the head case Calvin Ridley, and you see what I got out of that. Okay, yeah. Didn't fare too well. I finished ninth overall this year in my draft. Went from winning the league to finish, you know, next to last. Which, you know, that's what happened. That's fantasy football. I mean, year to year, you just never know. So to answer your question in a long roundabout way,
right?
I like drafting, as we've seen, you know, where I mapped out all the players, them top three, top four are going to be running backs pretty much just about every year.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I'm literally scared of the injuries. You know, I'd rather let these guys take these, you know, number one, number two guys. I got your shuffle going, Sammy. I got him. I've been practicing all weekend. And I'd rather draft, honestly, my premier spot is eight or nine.
Okay.
Okay. Now I wouldn't be upset with number five, number six either, but my premier spot is eight or nine. I like to see the draft come to me.
Yeah. Let's
get these players off and get a couple back-to-back picks and get two all-stars, hopefully. Where I'm going to go, I don't know, because these receivers are really creeping up. Cooper Kupp, Ja'Marr Chase, you're going to see them both today.
Yeah.
They're both going a lot earlier next year than they were this year. Tell you that.
Yeah, and then you get worried that they got overvalued. And Dave, I've been saying this, ask this, for the last 3 years. I think Sanders, I'm waiting for him to have that breakout year. But the one thing I'll say, when they give him the ball, he has success. But the one thing I worry about, it seems like when they give him the ball, he gets nicked up too. So that's the only thing about Sanders. But, man, it's all there for him. If they give him the ball, he's averaging 5 yards a carry. It's just about getting the touches. Yeah. Now, Stiz, real quick, and we're obviously going to get into the picks and prop bets and games and all that. Top three picks next year. Who do you got? Real quick.
Top three, I got three running backs like they always are. I got Jonathan Taylor. I mean, how can you go wrong with it? With this young kid, 20 touchdowns this year, 2,171 yards overall. Yeah. Wow. I mean, how do you go wrong with him?
Nah, you're right.
A close second, and we got to see in the offseason what he looks like, but a close second has to be Derrick Henry. It's going to be the talk all year long. I can't wait to talk to my fantasy football guys in my league to see what their thoughts are, but I think Derrick Henry's got to be a close second
because
of his previous performance. I mean, the dude's a beast. And I'll tell you, number three was really a toss-up, but I'm going on touches, and I got to go Najee Harris. As my number three overall pick. Listen, as a rookie, 10 touchdowns, 1,667 total yards. As a rookie,
you
had a bad offensive line, okay? Yeah. If they can figure that offensive line out, listen, he's going to get the touches. Big Ben.
Yeah. No, you know what's a good point, Stiz? He's somebody with that high upside. If he falls a little bit, I agree with you because they're going to draft offensive line, and I really think – you're going to see they're going to bring in a Jimmy G or a Carson Wentz if Indy moves off of him. I really think they're going to get a much more formidable quarterback in there. I don't think it's, you know, coach to talk about Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph. I highly doubt that's going to be the
it wasn't working with Ben.
I mean, Ben was shot this year. They got talent there. The fact that they got that team to the playoffs still, I mean, it shows you about the coaching of Mike Tomlin. So there's things there, but, you know, obviously you're right, Stiz. You got to get that offensive line and that, you know, I think Najee Harris could be a complete stud. The pick's coming up, Angela.
Yeah.
Coming up soon. But I want to touch on one thing, guys, if it's okay, Coach, before we get into the games. Because, Coach, I'm curious to what you think. Because I'm starting to wonder myself. But Brady last week on his podcast with Jim Gray, they asked him about the retirement, and he said, you never say never.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I just have a feeling that I don't think it's over. I really don't know. I got a feeling, and I just listen to me. But I kind of wonder if he wants to go to the Niners. Okay. And he knows the Bucs don't have the money to compete next year. So he doesn't want to do the thing, I want to be gone. But let's say in August, if he says, I want to play now. Okay. Or in July, I've changed my mind. Look, in Tampa Bay, they're not going to hate him. He went there, brought him a Super Bowl.
Right.
Yep. They know they're in a transitional period. You know, I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't love trading him to the Niners. But what if Trey Lance isn't looking as great? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but wait a second. I thought Tom only signed a 2-year deal. I thought he's done.
No.
They don't need it. They don't get any compensation for him.
No. He has a year left.
Okay.
Left.
All right.
Yeah. But no, and that's been kind of the rumor that supposedly he wants to steer his way to the Niners. And yeah, it might be looking in too much. But man, a guy like Brady, Jordan came back. And I'm not talking about the first one. He came back after the second one. Guys like that have the itch. And I just really wonder if you could see Brady come back. Do you think I'm nuts, Coach?
Absolutely not. I'm on that same trajectory. I agree with that 100% of him, because I can see a scenario where Trey Lance just, you know, okay, he's not ready. Let's bring in Tom Brady and let's let him sit behind Tom for a year, one more year, and let Tom come in, because Tom's always said he wanted to have his parents be able to come to drive to the stadium and watch him play every week.
Yeah. I mean, that was his hometown team.
Yeah.
And look, come on now. If you're Shanahan, let's be honest. You go back 2 years now, you make that trade for Tom Brady, because you know it's a mistake now.
And his buddy, isn't it Edelman? Is it the wide receiver coach for San Fran too?
No, Welker.
Welker, that's it. I knew one of them, Welker.
Hey, Dave, stop. Thanks for stopping by, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we appreciate it, man.
New buddy of mine, new friends of ours from Happy Hour.
Yeah, anybody can talk fantasy. Stiz is gonna get along with.
Hell, you ain't lying.
He kicks Jimmy G out and wins a chip with San Francisco. I mean, look, put Brady in there this year. Are they in the Super Bowl? I think they are.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, listen, come on, look at that game. Brady would have been the difference.
Listen, Uncle Bill's still hoping Heath Miller comes back for Pittsburgh. then they got a shot next year.
Yeah. Man, like I said, that's what's great about the NFL too, because now you see with the Bengals, you had the pick, number one pick 1 year. And 2 years, 2 years later, you're in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, so the season ends today, and then in a month we get free agency. A month later, you get the NFL draft. You know what I mean? So you're starting to see, you know, everybody thinks they're alive again. You're 0-0. The slate's clean. And then you get your little mini camps and all. And then, you know, before we know it, training camp's here and preseason, and we're back into the NFL. That's why it's
a great sport. What do you mean, the commies? I mean, Commanders, what?
Commanders,
damn,
yeah.
Tommy. Oh,
boy.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Sammy, let me tell you this. As long as the ownership is what it is there, I just don't – unless they get a great player and coach that's just – you get, you know, they get lucky. Snyder's a complete and utter disgrace. Just top to bottom as an owner. He's been – I mean, he's the worst owner in football by far, in my opinion. I mean, yeah. I know you see other teams out there, but Snyder's actually spent money, and he just can't get himself get out of his own way. I mean, right. Jerry Jones at least can say he has three Super Bowls. I mean, now he hasn't done anything in the last 25 years. I mean, let's be honest. Joe Burrow's got more playoff wins than the Cowboys do the last 25 years. I mean, in his second year. So,
right. All right, let's get into some bets.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, Stiz, yes, me sir. And Stiz both have prop bets. So, Stiz, I'll start with mine if it's all right first.
Yeah, absolutely.
My prop bets. I love this one. I think this is look. You're getting money. So I'm going to go with the opening kickoff will be a touchback. And here's my reasoning. Now, the Rams, it's an indoor-outdoor stadium. So really it's indoor, but like it's open on the sides, I guess. And they can close it if there's inclement weather. But you're not going to get the wins and all. Matt Gay, 72% touchbacks when he's kicking at home. In the NFL, it's 63% of the time it's a touchback, okay? You know, it's the Super Bowl. You're jacked up. McPherson's got a leg, as we know. Right. I just said Gay, 72% at home. So I have a good feeling that's you're getting plus money. I like that bet. So hopefully, I don't start as a loser right after the kickoff. I mean, there's some people that can start as a loser right after the anthem or the flip of the coin. I don't do the heads tails things. I mean, I'm a tails never fails guy. But
that's right. Me too.
Yeah. But heads is, I think, has been the better pick with the Super Bowl. I just don't bet that. So I like that. Look, as long as I've been doing this show, I've been putting this bet in on the Super Bowl, and it's won every year. So I'm going to bring it back again this year. First score, not a touchdown, and it's plus money. Look, Stiz brought it up when he did his debut 2 years ago on the Coach Muddle show on the Chiefs Niners game, and he said, and it's very true, there's a lot of tightness in the first quarter. I mean, look, Tom Brady until last year didn't have a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. 9 first quarters, he didn't have a touchdown pass. Yeah. His first touchdown pass was with less than a minute to go in the first quarter last year. Wow. So, yeah, that's a stat not a lot of people know. They play very tight in the first quarter. It's a lot of feeling out. And
nerves.
Getting through that. So, I love first score, not a touchdown, plus 140. And then I know Coach is going to like this because Coach rode this last game, so did I. I think it continues. I'm going to go over OBJ over 65.5 receiving yards. I think the Bengals are probably going to try to make, try to take Cup out of the game as good as he's been.
Good luck.
Right. I agree. I'm going to go OBJ over 65.5 yards. And then in regards to, I'm going to give out 1-2. And look, this is more just, I think you're getting a good price. I think it's worth a shot. Cooper Kupp, MVP, 7-1. Some have 6-1. Either way, you're talking about a guy who's averaging, I think it's 9 catches, 110 yards, and 1.3 touchdowns a game. So, I mean, if he comes out and gives you 9, 130 or 140 and 2 TDs.
Crazy.
To get a guy like him at 7-1's value, in my opinion.
The new lightning.
Yeah, and I think it's more worth it than Stafford or Burrow because I think that's more going to go on who wins the game. And, whoever wins, they're most likely going to be MVP. But you don't get a big payout. So I'm going to throw a long shot with Cooper Kupp. I wouldn't even mind an Aaron Donald. But, yeah, I'll go with that. Stiz, your prop bets.
I'm going to start off with Jamar Chase over 5.5 receptions at -120. I think they're going to have to force feed him. I mean, he's their number one receiver on the team. I think Burrow's going to have to spread it out, but listen, he will go to Jamar Chase early and often because he's his number one guy. Second on the route here. This is my favorite one. Now the juice. Unfortunately, most of my prop bets are all chalk, but you know what? They're chalk for a reason. They're chalk because they're favorites. And I'm going with my money man, Evan Too Cool McPherson. Come on, baby. Evan McBuckets over 1.5 field goals at -170. Now, when I looked at this earlier in the week, it was at -140, -145. It got juiced all the way up to -170. You know the public's all over this prop bet. Right. And I mean, this may be over by halftime. I've called it the last couple times. It's over by halftime. Yep. I mean, this kid's absolutely money. Doesn't matter where he's at on the field. Yep. A 30-yarder to a 55-yarder. It doesn't matter. This kid's cool as can be.
Yep.
Third prop bet I'm going with, two-point conversion attempted at minus 105. Just attempted. Doesn't have to be made. We've seen this year how many two-point attempts were you know, going for this year. You know, the scores are a little bit fluky this year. You're not automatically kicking that extra point. You're going for two a lot more. So I like this at almost even money. That's a nice one. Nice low one. Fourth one on the roster was going to be Rams to convert a fourth down at minus 150. Okay. The Rams, if they get to the 50-yard line, 45-yard line on the other side, I think they're going to go for it. I think they're going to be ahead in this game. I think they're going to try to pound it down Cincinnati's throat, and I think they're going to go for it more often than not. And we've seen same thing with two-point conversions, even more often with fourth downs. Yeah. A lot of teams going for it. You see teams going for it on their side of the field, which was unthought of years ago. But it's a more aggressive style, more aggressive offenses this year.
Yep.
I think it's going to, you know, carry on into the Super Bowl.
And both these guys are that way too, Stiz. Both guys are aggressive. And I think McVay, especially after the loss and only scoring 3 points against the Patriots in the last Super Bowl, they're going to be extra aggressive. And same thing with Zach Taylor. I mean, he had that game where he could have kicked the field goal and he went for the touchdown to try to win it.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And, you know, the Cincinnati money line for convert a fourth down is around the same 150, 160. I definitely agree with you. Okay. And my last but not least, this is kind of a coin flip. And I kind of went against the public here. This is a fun prop. First touchdown scorer, their jersey number. I got it at over 23.5 of the jersey number. That's a plus 113. Okay. You get a little bit of an underdog there. And the reason why I'm looking at this is you look at the Rams, most of their main guys are under this. You got Odell, you got Cooper Kupp, you got Stafford, you got Cam Akers, number 23, just under. Okay. Yeah. So most of your playmakers are under this number.
Yeah.
Which is, it looks too easy. Okay. Right. You got Jamar Chase on the other side and Joe Burrow as the two guys under this jersey number. Okay. Jamar Chase is your number one go-to, right?
Yep.
It looks too easy to take this under. I'm going the opposite way. I'm taking the over and I'm basically going for Cincinnati to score first because they got the best option with their, you know, with their guys and jersey numbers. So
here's a little call from the Vada Nick.
Okay.
Watch out for Blanton on that first TD.
Okay.
I could see it Higby out, you know, and that would be over for you, Stiz.
Well, he's over, sure. Absolutely.
Watch out for Blanton going to the backup tight end now, replacing Higby.
That's fine. That works for me. Listen, when I started my debut a couple years ago, I went 5-0 on prop bets. So let's see if it ended off that way this season.
And last year was some crazy number. He was like almost 80%.
Yeah.
Angela, you know what? You might have a point.
Yeah,
I hate the hole where you can't onside kick it now. They don't let them run because before you could run, but you know, while the guy was kicking, they got to stand, which is kind of killed onside kicks.
Right.
This is a great question, actually. And I'm curious because I don't, but I would guess it's a push if there's co-MVPs. I guess it'd be a push.
There's never been a co-MVP, and I don't think they would give it
as a co-MVP. But if, coach, if it's tied in votes, it would, but you know,
that's tough.
Yeah. And then, yeah, your boy, a good old professor.
Professor.
Kevin Hester wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, look, kickoffs used to be more exciting.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. But just it's not there anymore. The best walks in. Yeah, she's waiting for commercials tonight.
Okay.
Michael Johnson with his Mai Tai. Now let's get into what everybody's waiting for. Obviously, you know, here we are. It's the big game. I'm a little nervous because I started this trek 3 years ago, and it was in a Rams game. I picked the Rams, and I started off 0-1. Coach was ready to let me go to give me the old, you know, walking paper. And then luckily I went on a run right after that. And,
you That's know, right. You did. You went on a hell of a run after that.
Right. Right. You know, I caught the year I called the Raptors at 10-1. So I kind of, I got back in the good graces of the coach.
And you picked the Daytona 500 winner.
Yep, right after that.
And and you hit the Derby, the Masters.
Right.
I mean,
right. he yeah, hit you're it right. all. Yeah. Yes, and
that was the year you got. Didn't you almost get arrested being in the bushes there at the Derby, trying to scout horses?
I did. Uh-huh. Yes. You're right about that. I was trying to get a sneak peek at the horses running, and I thought I could hide in the bush, and yet they still saw me somehow.
Yeah, somehow, man. I mean, I don't know how they
get it. Yeah. He blended.
Yeah, he blended. There you go.
He had his camo on.
Well, I tried to blend in with the jockeys, and I kind of stuck out. You know, I was trying to – because, that was my dream as a kid, was to be a jockey, and it just didn't seem to work out, you know. But, no, so in regards to the game tonight, look, I think an analysis of it, I think it's a tough game. It really is. And coach, so that was the year too. I ended up calling next year. I called the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, in the regular season. But no, in tonight's game, I think this is a tough game. I mean, because a part of me likes the underdog whole thing, and I love the Bengals. I like a team that hasn't been there in a while. I like the role the Bengals are on. But when I look at the game, I mean, I just think that Rams defense is the difference. You saw what happened against the Titans. If Cincy wins, it's going to be Burrow getting the ball out quickly and, you know, obviously not getting hit. And I believe, it's going to be Cincinnati turning Stafford over. So I think that's the key for Cincinnati's success. But I just think that defensive line of the Rams is going to be too much. I think the Rams are going to run the football and have success. And I think Stafford's going to have a big game. I'm going to go with the Rams -4. I have the Rams winning by 10 points. I could see the Bengals maybe backdoor covering this. It's possible, you know. But I'm going to go to the Rams 27, Bengals 17. So I'm on a Rams -4 tonight. That's my lock of the week. Tough one. You know, I don't love the game, but I think that, like I said, I think the Rams defense will be the difference. Yeah, that's great. Come on, man. You say that when I'm doing my pick too. Come on, Sammy. You should know better. Don't mush me. So, now Stiz, who do you got tonight?
I'll tell you, I mean, my analysis basically mimics yours, which may be a good sign with the way you pick them all year long. I got the Rams -4. I mean, you know, even though I'm rocking the Ocho Cinco jersey, my basically now is a spot on. I mean, it really mirrors yours. I think the Rams defense is the outlier. I think that's what kind of takes me over the hump. Right. You know, I feel like they both have great offenses. They both need a job done. We've seen Cincinnati make comebacks game in, game out.
Right.
You know, the thing is, you know, they got sacked 9 times by Tennessee, okay? And they made a comeback. He stood straight and got the job done. You get sacked 8-9 times by this defense, I don't think you're getting up. I think it's a different ball game if that happens. Now, we don't know, but more than likely he's going to be on his back quite often tonight, you know? So I just don't think that Cincinnati's going to have enough to get themselves back in a game. Yeah. And I got an 8-point loss. Okay. You know, I got a 27-19 Rams win.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be crazy high scoring. I think, like you said, I think the Rams are going to run the ball. I think they're going to, you know, take some time off. There are going to be some jitters early, like in previous Super Bowls. I like the Rams. I like the Rams -4. I hope it's a good one. You know, I'm rooting for you. I'm hoping it's a good game.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they get that cover for you, you know, I'm happy. But I hope
game. I just need them to win the game. I mean, I bet them wrong the year. I got lucky. The one thing, too, Cincinnati's defense, I'm not trying to, you know, shit on them. I think they got a good look. They make big plays. The adjustments they made against the Chiefs. But like I said, my alluding to is the Cincinnati offensive line is, I think, going to be the difference. I really do. I think that's going to be where the thing that hurts them. I don't think Burrow is going to be a problem. I think that's going to be obviously the key to the game. I think it's the difference of the game. I think Cincinnati's defense is opportunistic. Like I said, they're plus nine on a turnover thing. And if that continues tonight, Cincinnati will probably win. If they get two turnovers, they probably win the game. But
I think I can tell by Coach's disposition, yeah, he's going to be opposite of us.
Yeah. So, Coach. Now, Coach, you know, Coach has been on a little hot streak.
You're yapping about all. You're forgetting the most important thing. Okay, what? The most important thing, running your mouth about this defense and how great everybody is, but you're forgetting their coach is a horrible game manager. Horrible. He blew all his timeouts in a championship game with 12 minutes left in the freaking game. He is costing them the game today. It is going to be a 31-24 victory for the Cincinnati Bengals, baby. They're bringing a trophy to Cincinnati. So get your chili ready.
Get your chili ready. Coach with the lock, Bengals plus four going out on a high note. I love it.
And look, Coach has been on the Bengals train. He has. I'll give it to him.
I have.
I mean, look.
Cinderella's not ready to – the clock's not striking 12 yet.
No. But this is a legit team. I think, you know – I mean, every team's have weakness. I just think, honestly, this is the worst offensive line that's ever been in the Super Bowl. I mean, and that's the one thing that's tough to me because I believe in up front play. I really do. But what you do have is a special quarterback. I mean, that's Joe Burrow's special. He really is. The kid's going to be a stud. Not many guys can get sacked nine times and just keep get back up and not being deterred. And not getting happy feet and throwing bad interceptions, you know. Joe Burrow can. He's cool. He's Cool Joe part two. You know what I mean? It really is he really is the new Cool Joe. I mean, he is. But like I said, I'm going the other way than Coach. I like Rams minus four. I'm hoping for a good game. That's why I always like. I hate seeing blowouts. So I'm hoping we get a good game. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
I think to your point, though, we'll see how it comes down to the running game, though, I think. Which team runs better? Because if you have to start creeping up safeties to help win the run support, then it opens up the pass. And we both teams can kill you with the passing game. So it's really how well can you run the football today is going to be the key.
And, Coach, I think that would be a real big key to the Bengals.
Yeah.
But I think the Rams – I think the Rams are going to try to run, of course.
Right.
McVay loves running to be able to run the ball and then do play action. But I think with the Bengals especially, to run the ball, that Rams defense, that's how you beat them. You go right at them.
Yeah.
Right.
You run the ball at them. You attack them. And you saw the Rams last week. I mean – not the Rams, excuse me. The Bengals last week, they kept running the ball against the Chiefs. I mean, Zach Taylor, and he runs the ball a lot on first down. And I think he might maybe should switch that trend up a little bit because it didn't work last week. And he kept on being in second and nine and second and nine. And I'm telling you this, the one thing the Bengals don't want to be in against the Rams is third and long. You don't want to keep burrowing those things where they can just, you know, pin their ears back.
Yeah,
and, guys, let's talk about it now. You got Aaron Donald. You got, obviously, Von Miller. And then you got Leonard Floyd. I mean, that's Giants in their prime NASCAR package, you know, maybe even better. It's that special. And I'm not trying to shit on your Giants, Coach, because that was a special defensive line. But Aaron Donald, Von Miller, I mean, that's
pretty up there. Yeah, you got some talent. You got a lot of talent that can get to the quarterback, you know. But, you know, and we'll see. It's going to be interesting tonight.
Yeah. That's why I said Burrow's going to need to get the ball out quick. He's, you know, and usually he is good at that. You might see a lot of him and Chase love that back shoulder fade where it's just that thing and he'll, you know, and he hits him. So, you know, that's a throw you might see a lot of tonight. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. But I think Stafford's going to have his day tonight. Let's go Rams. Nevada Nick, 21-75 for the Rams. Come on, let's go.
All right, we'll see. All right, everyone,
what are you putting on the Bengals, Coach? Anything?
What?
You betting it or no?
No. And the only reason why is I got to schlep all the way to the damn casino to make a bet.
So, I'll take your action.
So, and an AP chicken.
All right, let's go. Hey, Sammy, DM me, buddy, because I'll be up Tuesday. I want to stop by and get some chicken. So let me know.
Absolutely.
But we'll go from there. Everyone, listen, enjoy the football game. We're going to have – it's going to be great. We'll be back tomorrow night. Just recap everything and rock and roll. And so enjoy it, please. We love everybody who participates. Share it with your friends. Ring the bell. Like the page and all that good stuff.
Have fun.
Enjoy the game. Hey, it's Tuesday, I said. Tuesday.
Chicken on Tuesday, too.
I'll be up Tuesday, Sammy. Tuesday. No, I fly out Wednesday. All right, I'll be back. The following Wednesday, I'll be back. So, all right, everyone, be good. Chicken. Thanks for checking us out, man.
See you guys.
See ya.